Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tempers Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I believe God will anoint this message to speak to you today, because we do have this promise in Isaiah 55:11. My word I will send out, and it will always produce fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. As you listen to this message, let the word of God penetrate your heart so it can accomplish all his will in your life. Enjoy this message.
For God so loved the world, us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Go ahead, Dave. So we talked about how much we love God this morning, and then we're going to talk about how much he loves us. Amen. Now you can be seated. Put it over to the side some. Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. You know, I found out how the hierarchy works here. Miss Tammy's the 4-star general. And then after her is Pastor Rob, right? He's the 3-star. And then comes Pastor Otis. He's a 2-star. So I found out this week, when some folks in the congregation told me how long my message was supposed to be, I found out that I'm just the 1-star general. Because I don't think anyone tells Pastor Rob or Pastor Otis how long they're allowed to talk. So I know where I'm at now. Hallelujah. But you know, I understand, because I'm not in here a lot between the teaching the preteens, and then I've had to fill in for the teens and various other things. I understand when you have some of those kiddos, they want to know when they're going to be done. Amen. I wanted to remind you, we talked about connect groups, and if you didn't remember, this Wednesday is also our connect kids, and this week it's going to be an awesome one. Miss Kimmy, our children's church pastor, and Miss Donna Lacombe, they have the kids this Wednesday. So Wednesday night at 6:30 is Connect Kids. So if you can make it out to the once a month Connect, or there's a couple other groups on Wednesday night. I have a group, and Pastor has a group, and then the Connect Kids, of course. So they have a lot of fun. They've got big plans for this week, so you can bring your kiddos with you. Yeah, I always have the hope that when I'm up here, I'm only up here a few times a year, and so I always have the hope that there's just one person in this room that's listening. Just one. And something triggers for just one of you. If I could share just a couple sentences that will shift your perspective to understand the gospel more clearly, that would make me happy. And it is a great gift, and I take it very seriously. For those of you that know me, I'm really lighthearted and joke around, but I take this very, very seriously. And yeah. So if someone out there can just get something today that triggers And if you get a bunch of things that you don't like, throw them away and try to take that one thing with you and go to the next level. So what does being a Christian, what does being a Christian mean to you? Now, we already know that when we become a Christian, we're forgiven. So that answer is taken. So I need a couple people that want to share with me, what does being a Christian mean to you? Do I have any takers? Brother Allen?
I was just thinking it means you have direction and guidance for where you're supposed to go.
That's good. Direction and guidance for where you're supposed to go. Excellent. Anybody else? Brother Randy? Who'd you say?
Just having a relationship with God, which when you're not a Christian, you don't have that, so.
Yeah. Amen. A relationship with God. Miss Donna?
Being loved and to love.
Being loved and to love. Those are three great answers, what it means being a Christian. Anybody else that just, you want to say it? So the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 15, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Negativity has become so loud, and positivity has become so quiet. Has anyone noticed that? Especially in these last few years. Negativity is so loud, and positivity is so quiet. Well, let me share this with you. Science says what your chances of being here today are. Of being alive in this very moment right now. Now, when you go back, you have to think all of your lineage since the beginning of time, they've all survived. And from your parents down, so many things affect. Your parents is a 1 in 20,000 chance they're going to meet each other. And then this just goes on and on and on and on and on. So your chance of being alive here in this very moment this morning are 1 in 10 with 2,685,000 zeros. Sorry, when the pastor's wife texts, You got to look. You know me with my phone when I preach. When the pastor's wife texts, you got to look. Amen? Amen. All in saying that, it's not what she said, but if you are watching us online, we would like to welcome you to Bethel Church. You can go. That's not what she said, but you can go to pull up Bethel Media, slam on the subscribe, and get us in your playlist. We're glad you're here and we're glad you're watching. Hallelujah. Your chance of being here is 1 in 10 with 2,685,000 zeros. Let me break that down a little bit further. So your chance of being here, if you took 2.5 million people, okay, that's about how many people are in San Diego, maybe 1.5 million in Columbus. 2.5 million people, and they're all going to play a game of dice. And the 2.5 million people have dice that have a trillion sides. A trillion sides on the dice that they're going to roll. and 2.5 million people roll their dice with a trillion sides and they all come up with the exact same number. A miracle is an event that is so unlikely, it is almost impossible. By that definition, we're always searching and wanting and believing for miracles. By that definition, you sitting here this morning, right now, breathing this air, you are a miracle. You're a miracle. So because of that, you should be very positive and very optimistic. Today, this morning, there's 850 million people in the world, almost a billion, that didn't have any clean drinking water. Do you know, almost every Sunday, we always have the after party. So I'm always one of the last ones to leave. Almost every Sunday, I pick up water bottles that have been half drank and you leave them set. And I throw them away. And almost a billion people didn't have water this morning. We should be optimistic. Who in here owns a car or drives a borrowed car? Raise your hands. Who has a car? Only 18% of the world's population have a car. Only 18% of 7 billion people have a car. You didn't have to ride your horse to church. Billy Sunday rode a horse and personally evangelized and led a million people to the Lord riding a horse. You didn't ride a horse today. You didn't ride a bicycle. I don't see any buggies out there. No scooters. I don't know anybody that walked. Oh, we should be so happy. 46% of the world's population. 46% of the world's population. 3.4 billion people live on $5.50 or less a day. Almost half the world's population, $5.50 a day. And we just want more, Lord. Just give us more, Jesus. $690 million live on less than $1.50 a day. $1.50 a day. We should all be so thankful. We in America should be so thankful that we live in a republic. Do you realize that? And what do? We just complain about our government and our leaders. But the Bible says pray for them, right? But no, we want to complain about them. I want to use a more nasty word with all I hear us doing. And we don't only live in a republic. We live in a republic that practices capitalism. It is so easy for us that maybe we're a little spoiled. As Christians in America, we should be the happiest, most optimistic people on the entire face of the earth. You have it as good as anyone on this earth has it. And then on top of that, your eternity, if you believe in Jesus, is going to be spent in heaven. Yeah. Amen. Well, I just Like, John 3:16 says, for God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed, well, I thought I had to do it. No, you have to believe. Do you realize because of where you live and the resources available to us, you can do practically anything you want to do. You have the means and the abilities to make almost anything you want happen. You can do anything you want for the cause of Christ. Do you realize that? Anything. You can do anything you want for Jesus. You have the means, the abilities, the resources, the wisdom, the knowledge. And then we just pray, well, if Jesus would just show me something. Wow. You know what? Coming to church is so easy, it almost doesn't count. Mm-hmm. It is so easy. And you sit there and it's warm in the winter and it's cool in the summer and everybody's nice and we have water and you can drink a little bit and leave it lay. It's just almost too easy. Coming to Connect Group, almost too easy. We just sit. We sit there and drink free coffee. It's free. When there's almost 1 billion people that don't even have water and we're drinking free coffee and we come in and say, we had a bad day. Help us, everybody pray for us. Just, oh. And sadly, it's so easy to come to Connect Group. It's so easy to come to church. It's so easy to come to church functions. But yet, so many of us still struggle with those things. It's amazing. But being disciples and making disciples should be easy for all of us. It should be our pastime. Mark 16:15. Jesus was talking to the disciples prior to this. It sounds like they were having some food together and chit-chatting. And Jesus says to the disciples, and if you in the book of Acts, the word disciple, it ultimately becomes the word what we are, right? Christians. It's us. Disciple became Christians. He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power. See, we like the first part. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Woo! And you'll be witnesses. Oh, now this is getting into a little harder part. We just want to feel the power. Woo! We want to feel it. But then it goes on, and because of that woo, then you're going to become witnesses for Jesus. Oh, we just want the woo! I just want the me feel good. You need to learn how to be a little uncomfortable. Uncomfortable is a good thing, right? It's just like you feel, I was cutting brush the other day and there was something in my shoe and it was a thorn. Man, I stopped, turned the weed eater off, had to blade it. I had to take my boots, unlace them all and dig my sock out. I had to find this thorn. I was uncomfortable, so I had to do something to fix it. So sometimes maybe we should be a little uncomfortable. Get something done. That's right, Pastor. Yeah, get a little uncomfortable and get something done. It's like when the bill's due tomorrow and you don't have any money, you get uncomfortable and realize you got to do something. But a week before that, you weren't thinking about it. So if I say something that maybe makes you uncomfortable, search it out, see what the Bible says, and maybe it'll cause you to dig a thorn out. You know, it's like we all want to hear a word from God, but we want it in a minute. We want to come in here Sunday morning and just get it. That's great. It happens. It's good. But maybe to get that word, you need to spend a month of reading or a year of studying and praying. See, we want a word from God, but we want it right now, right in this instant when we want it, and that's, we don't want to put anything behind it. And it happens. God loves us. He gives us that. It happens here. It's going to happen here today. But maybe to go beyond that little bit on the surface, you got to put a little more into it. You know, I've been every night for 2 years, there's a specific situation that I've wanted to see an exact answer on. And every night for 2 years before I go to sleep, when I lay my head there, I say, Lord, show me in a dream tonight. I've said that for 2 years. And I saw the answer this week. The Lord showed me in a dream. Amen. This week. But, and maybe it was because I had this message. But every night for 2 years I asked. We just want such an easy fix, such an easy something. We don't want to read. I don't have a hard copy up here. We don't want to read the Bible through. It's the Word of God. It's the bread of life. It's the river of ever flow. I don't want to read. I ain't got time to read the Bible through. If you're in any of my Connect groups, come January of every year, we talk about reading the New Testament. The whole thing. Do you know how long it takes the average reader? A little under 13 hours to read the entire New Testament. So you don't want to read the whole Bible. You can read the New Testament in a weekend. You can read an hour a day for 13 days and you read the whole New Testament. But you want to come in here and get some magic fix from Jesus instead of reading the New Testament. What he said for you, what he has planned for you, what he wants for your life, it's right there. But it's like, nah. But the average American spends 13 years watching TV. 13 years watching TV. And we call ourselves, we're Christians, we're believers, we love Jesus and he loves us, but we're not too into what he says. The way it used to be, okay, there weren't Bibles. Where's a Bible? We have them everywhere in here. Someone hand me a Bible. There weren't Bibles. Thank you, Miss Christie. There weren't Bibles, right? I know we haven't got to the chair yet. There weren't Bibles everywhere. You know what happened when you came to worship God and do your duty? You came in and you had prayer time. You shared prayers, prayed with each other, and then someone came up here and opened this up And I don't know, for 1 to 5 hours, they just opened it up and read to you the Word of God. It was because you didn't have this. You couldn't get this. You couldn't afford this. In 1455, a guy with the last name of Gutenberg, you probably heard of the Gutenberg Bibles, he came up, they made wooden printing presses. I know you don't need a history lesson, but he came out with the first steel templates and made a printing press, and the first books that was printed was the Gutenberg Bible. If you come across one of those, I think there's 48 left in existence, it's worth upwards of $5 to $10 million. A page is worth $1 million, one page. So he printed the Gutenberg Bible. So that was in 1455. So then it started becoming more affordable for people to buy a Bible. What if, when I said, who has a car, everybody raised their hand. What if you had to choose, I can buy the Word of God, I can have a Bible, or I can have a car? I can't have them both. I can't afford them both. I can go on vacation this year, or I can buy a Bible. I can pay my electric bill, or I can buy a Bible. Don't we have it so good? These are everywhere. I think I have 200 versions in my phone. And they were free. They were free. Do you understand? They were free. Again, me and my... But, communist atheist China has printed upwards of 250 million Bibles, 250 million or so Bibles. And they print 20 million Bibles a year, China. All your Bibles probably came from China, just a little tidbit there. Thank you, China. Thank you, China. How important is that Bible to you? Do you cherish it? How important is it? I had a friend, and we would discuss Bible all the time. He's went on to be with heaven, and his name was Dan. And whenever we would talk about the Bible and have questions and concerns, old Dan would always say, "Well, let's see what the Bible says." Do we do that? Do we listen to our ministries on the radio and TV and at Bethel and then say to ourselves, "Well, let's see what the Bible says"? Making disciples, it's our jobs, right? Being disciples is our job first, right? So let's talk. Let's read a story. I'm going to pull it up here on my phone. We have it so easy. So I'll tell you a story about... We've got a chair and balloons, BB gun, some peanut butter sandwiches, a little bit to drink. It's not Pepsi or Coke. So there's a story about this dude. This was about 25 years ago now. He was a 33-year-old truck driver named Larry Walters. He made national news. See, Larry... On the weekends, he liked to sit out. He sat out in his lawn chair in his backyard, eat peanut butter sandwiches, having a couple cold ones. And he was sitting there one weekend, and he was bored. And Larry lived real close to the LAX, Los Angeles Airport. So he was eating his peanut butter sandwiches, drinking his cold ones. in his little subdivision, and he got an idea. He was sitting there bored, and old Larry thought, I'm going to go down to the Army Surplus and buy some of their big helium weather balloons, and then I'm going to get a tank of helium, and I want to get a little better view of my neighborhood. So Larry went down, and bought a tank of helium. He thought this through, didn't he? And he got these weather balloons, and he filled the weather balloons with helium, and then he tied them to his lawn chair. So Larry, I'm jumping down here to my phone of the story. So Larry thought, you know, I'm going to go up about 100 feet and just check my neighborhood out. And he had this great plan. He really thought this through. He went and got his son's BB gun, and he said, you know, he's going to sit in his chair, and when he gets up to about 100 feet, he'll start shooting out balloons so he won't go any higher. Good plan, right? So I'm sure before he went up in the air, this isn't in the story, but I'm sure if he had a cup holder, one of those went in his cup holder. And he got her done. He had this setup that we're looking at here. And so he's going to regulate his altitude with the BB gun. He had 45 was how many weather balloons. So you can imagine what that looked like. Weather balloons are way bigger than these. He had 45 weather balloons, and he's sitting in his chair. And so his neighbors came over to help. And he had his chair roped off, and he got it, and he told his neighbors to let it ease him up in the air, and Larry went up in the air, and then he told his neighbors, cut the ropes. And the neighbors cut the ropes, and old Larry shot up to about 5,500 feet in the air, like boom. And his BB gun, he couldn't shoot the balloons out. He drops his BB gun, and he's holding on for life. 55, true story, 5,500 feet. So he drifts over into the landing circle for LAX, and there comes a DC-10. And the pilot radios in and says, hey, there's a guy in a lawn chair full of balloons up here in the air. So when that plane landed, they had people meet the pilot to drug test the pilot. People on the plane confirmed they saw it out their windows. So they shut down the airspace, nobody taking off, no one coming in. They clear the airspace. They get several helicopters in the air, and they attempt a rescue for poor old Larry. Well, the helicopters manage to rescue Larry. This is a true story. And it's not the only story like this. So the helicopters rescue old Larry Walters. So when they finally got him down, he was surrounded by TV crews, the police, fire and rescue squads, all kind of curious people. This was a major national news event. Were you scared? Asked one of the TV reporters, thrusting a mic in his face. Nah, not really, said Larry. Are you going to do it again? Asked another reporter. Oh, no, said Larry. What in the world made you do it the first time? Larry Walters thought about it for a moment and said, well, you just can't sit there. Do we just sit? Jesus says, do. We sit at service. We sit at Connect. What do we do? Is this doing? James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see, it was about you when you were destined for hell. Before you, John 3:16, before you believed, It was about you because you were destined for hell. But then you believed. And you're no longer destined for hell. So guess what it's about now? The kingdom of God. It ain't about you anymore. When you realize it's not about you, it's easy to say, thank you, God, that my day sucked. It's easy to say, thank you, God, that my day was great. When you realize it's not about you, you say, praise Jesus, I'm still breathing even though I'm sick. And it's easy to say, praise Jesus, I'm as healthy as health can be. It's easy to say, praise Jesus, I'm in such financial lack. And it's easy to say, praise Jesus, I don't know what to do with my extra. Do we understand that the Bible tells us that we are to praise God in everything? In lack, in struggle, in pain, in hurt, in scarcity, in sickness, in disease, we are to praise God. We want to praise God when things are good. But when we realize it's not about us, I would hope with the world today that we are awoken and we are disciples of Jesus. And we are trying to make disciples, but I see so many people who appear to be sound asleep. It's like, wow, man, do you realize? We can say and do it in here. This is no biggie to say and do it in here. It's not. It's easy here. Jesus loves you. I just said it to 75 people. Go out there and say it to 75 people this week. Jesus loves you.
That's right. That's right.
The two greatest commands, right, is love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Pastor just preached a message about 5 weeks ago on loving our neighbors and talking to our neighbors. And, you know, my wife and I, we have a farm, we have some acreage, but we have about 25 neighbors right there around us, rural neighbors, and we just had a couple move, and so we don't know them, but the other 23 neighbors, we know them all well, very well. How many of us call ourselves believers and don't know who lives next door? Haven't taken them a pie when they moved in. Don't raise your hands, but who's taken their neighbor's pie? You know, when Trish and I moved out on the farm, the neighbor brought us a pie. I guess that was, so we've kept that old school in our neighborhood. The neighbor brought us a pie. And so now when if someone moves in the neighborhood, everyone goes and takes them something. And we've kept just great neighbors like that. We come to church and say, praise Jesus, but do we know our neighbors? I think about this message. You know what it takes? Or for me, different people are different. But for me, to stand up here, it's about 16 hours of preparation. I don't mean that anyway. I'm just sharing. So it's about 16 hours for me to stand here. Now, I could stand here and just not have 16 hours in it. But man, I pray and seek and prepare, and I want it to be what I feel like God wants it to be. Now, I could do it on a whim. I got all kinds of stuff there on a whim, but I don't want to do it on a whim. And I thought, when I was working on this, I thought, well, is there a better way for me to spend that 16? What could I do in 16 hours besides be able to stand here and do this? What could I have done with that 16 hours to advance the gospel? Is this the right thing to do with it? I mean, I think it is because I'm doing it, but it's like 16 hours. Did it make a difference? Did it matter? Every week, you know, you expect your pastor to get up here and give you something new, give you something fresh, give you something different. And every week, this has got to come up with new and different and fresh and more, and it's got to be creative and different than the last time. But I don't know, maybe we should just come in and read for an hour every week. Maybe we would grow more. I don't know. Love your neighbor as yourself. But how can we get to know our neighbors when we don't even know all the folks sitting beside us at church? My people say to me, well, how long have they been coming? A year. Oh, what's their name? I know grown adults who aren't where they want to be in life. And you know what they do about it? Nothing. And say, fix it, Jesus. Don't sleep till noon. Maybe Jesus wants to fix it in the morning. Right. Yeah. I used to sell life insurance. And I don't anymore, so I'm not. So I used to sell life insurance. So my first two calls ever. I go talk to the one lady, and my first two calls, they were both young. So I go talk to the one lady. They have no life insurance. And I said, you can get it really cheap right now. I explain everything to them. Nope, they didn't want it. Okay. So the next person I go to was another lady. And I go to that lady and tell them about life insurance. She's like, no, don't need that. Don't need that. Okay. Within 2 years, my first two insurance appointments, one lady was 52 and one was 38. They both passed. I knew both the families, and both families were in financial hardship. I couldn't do my job. I tried to do my job, but I couldn't. It was up to them. I shared the best I knew, and it was up to them. They said no. The same goes with discipleship. We have to do the best we can to serve God according to what His Word says, and then we have to do the best we can to share that with other people. And then it's up to them. And if they don't receive it, it's okay. You can walk away. But we have to try. Back to the chair. Remember who cut the ropes that was holding him? His friends cut the ropes. And he went, whew. Sometimes the people we surround ourselves with are not the people we're supposed to surround ourselves with. Who is influencing you, and who do you influence? Look at the people who have influence over you. Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it kingdom-minded? A real easy way to find out is to take your phone and just go down through your texts and find out the 10 people that you talk to most and what's being said. And then figure out which one should be there and which one shouldn't be there. And then the ones that shouldn't be there, just limit them. Remember, the Word tells us to seek wisdom and knowledge. I had a friend. We're getting close. Wow. I had a friend who was searching and seeking, trying to decide if he wanted to be a disciple of Jesus. And trying to decide if he wanted to serve God. And And I was working on him, you know. Ultimately, we know Father God does it, but we play a part. So he calls me up, texts me up and says, hey, man, there's this band I love. And he's a heavy metal guy, and this band wasn't heavy, but they're pretty heavy. There's this band I love, and they're playing at this bar, and I'd like you to come with me. I said, yeah, okay, I'll come. Now, those of you that know me, you knew what my answer was going to be to that. If you don't know me, you wouldn't have known. But yeah, I said, oh, yeah, I'll go with you. So we went. Man, I'm working on making a disciple of Christ with this guy. And so I have a Christian friend who was really, really, really upset with me. And she said that the Bible says I needed to avoid the appearance of sin and how wrong I was for being there with him. And I said, well, I am sin. Right? I'm in this flesh, right? This is sin. It's born of the sin nature and it dies of the sin nature. I said, I am sin. I'm a fleshly human being. All of our flesh is sinful, right? The Bible says that we're as filthy rags. I'm not trying to slam your self-esteem, but all of our flesh is sinful. We are nothing. It is only by the grace of God. Do you understand that? It's only by God's grace. John 3:16. If you believe, God loves you. And if you believe, it is only by the grace of God that covers your sin. We're not like some sinless, holy creature. No, we're a goofed up mess. It's Jesus that does all this, folks. It's Jesus. He covers our sin. He's got us. It doesn't just like, we're not holy. You're not holy. You're not holy. Jesus is holy, and Jesus lives inside of you if you believe. And his holiness can come out. He says the footsteps of a righteous person are ordered by him. Well, you're not righteous. You're his filthy rags, right? Right. But you accept him and Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost comes, lives on the inside of you. That's where your righteousness comes from. And that Holy Spirit leads, guides, and directs your steps, even though your sinful flesh don't want to take those steps. It's guiding you through. And it becomes easier and easier and easier if you get into this thing, what Jesus is trying to tell you. But we got a bunch of people who want to get in a chair and float away. It'll be fun. My BB gun will save me. If you just sit, you'll get in trouble. Your mind will wander. You'll get in trouble. Don't just sit. You need to be doing. God is a God of action. He's a God of action. He even tells us to watch when we pray in case something happens. But we so get caught up in things we've always, but when we pray, we always go, ooh. You close. Well, the Bible says, watch and pray. Something might happen when you're praying. We close our eyes, bow your heads, and pray. But the Bible says, watch and pray. Just so many things. I always like to share, and especially this time of year, Easter's great. I love Easter. Jesus died, you know, and he was in the ground. 3 days, 3 nights, right? So we say, oh, he died Friday. Saturday, Sunday, that's two. well, oh, the answers are in here. Just like my friend that I went with, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 9, the Apostle Paul said, I've become all things to all men. What is he saying? You got to meet people where they're at. I can't put on this. I got to meet Randy where he's at. I got to meet Tony where he's at. And I got to meet Susie where she's at. You meet people where they're at. And you, in a sense, you imitate them. You be like them so you can relate to them. So you can have influence with them. You meet someone where they're at. Right? Jesus died on that cross because of our sin and because we all have this sinful nature. We're born with it. Someone in here told me their little one who's just barely old enough to talk told a big whopper this week. Where did that come from? Sinful nature. Because that little girl's innocent, but she has that sinful nature. Jesus came to destroy the law, right? You say the Ten Commandments, but there was 10 commandments, and then 603 other commandments. There were 613 commandments that Jesus came to destroy because you could not follow them. I could not follow them. He had to give us something better because we could not follow the law because we're not good enough. We can't pray enough. We can't fast enough. We can't read enough. We can't go to church enough. We're not holy. It's Jesus who lives in us that's holy. We just talked about that. It's by his grace that you are forgiven and remain forgiven. So today, I want to share this in closing. Just a couple points. Oh, real quick before that, something I missed that I wrote that I thought was interesting. It really plays into, so I want to share. I said how many years you spend watching TV, 13. You spend 23 years sleeping, 16 years at work. You spend 6 years eating. 4 years dressing. You have 304 colds. I love this one. The average person eats 35,138 cookies in their lifetime. Spend 4 years being sick, 2 years dressing. I said that. 304 colds. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you're a disciple of Jesus, guess how many years you spend practicing your belief? 6 months. 6 months. You add it up in your total lifetime. Wow. So in closing, I'll share this. Make sure you know Jesus. Make sure you've believed on him. It's so easy. Second thing, be a hearer and a doer of the word. And to do that, you have to read your Bible. And the third thing, oh, you know, I like to challenge people. We're going to make it easy. There's 9 months left in the year, right? In 2022, it's probably too easy, but we're going to leave it too easy. in 2022, talk to someone, one person, someone specifically about John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. One person in 9 months, create a conversation with around that passage. And if you are a believer, if you are a disciple, you can do it. And if you are not a believer, just leave here becoming one today. Just believe. Whosoever. Watching us online, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Bethel Church, Tuppers Plains, Ohio. Have service on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, various connect groups throughout the week. We would love to have you come worship with us in person. Remember, whosoever believes shall be saved, in Jesus' name.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tuppers Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.